time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Alberta country artist J.T. Moore is my guest today. He's here to talk about his start in music, songwriting, his upcoming CD entitled What I Live For, and much more. It's my pleasure to welcome to In the Country, J.T. Moore. Hey, J.T.
Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great tonight. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. I'm really excited about this interview. It's been a long time coming, and I just can't wait to, you know, get the word out about the music.
Awesome. Yes, definitely. It has been. We've known each other for quite a while through the wonderful web and all the great music sites. Now let's start off with talking about the Country 105 Rising Star Contest. I understand you won the last round.
The Country 105 Rising Star is a yearly event, and I actually tried out with probably over 50, like it was about 58 or 60 different performers, and they chose the top 25, and now over the next 5 weeks, five groups each week will be competing, and the winner of each week will meet in that sixth week for the actual final. So yeah, I was lucky. I made it through. I wasn't sure whether or not to really be involved in it this year, because I had won second place a few years back, and I thought, you know what, that's good enough for me. Like, I didn't really need to prove anything. My girlfriend was like, you don't have to do this. I'm like, I know, but it's kind of a personal vendetta, you know. you get so close and you don't win, Talladega Nights, where, you know, if you're not first, you're the last kind of thing.
Exactly. Good for you. Well, that's pretty exciting. So that'll be some exciting weeks coming up. Now, I understand going back to, well, just 2008, you also did very well in a competition. We all know it, called Nashville Star, which was on CMT for a while, and then it moved to NBC. But you got you did pretty well in the regionals there. Tell us how that worked.
Right, yeah. I actually... You know, that was another one of those contest things. You just never know how those things are going to go. And, you know, you hear about, you know, American Idol and trying out for that, and how, you know, so many great singers, you know, fail to get through. And I'm like, you know, do I want to really put myself through that kind of thing? But I thought, you know what, this is based on just country music. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. So I'm like, I filled out the application. I had to, you know, supply all sorts of information. Then I flew down to Portland, Oregon, And you know, the lineup there was endless. I mean, it was over 4,500 competitors, and
wow.
And when you think about that, I mean, I'm looking at this rising star thing for Country 105, and I'm like, okay, I'm up against 60. I had to go up against 4,500 competitors, I couldn't believe that I made it through the, you know, they have several phases of trying out. You have to meet a certain group. It's not really, you know, the main judges. Yeah, I'd say it's a series of judges that kind of, you know, you have to go through them in order to get to that level, right? So,
right.
So I went through like three levels that day, and it was just a roller coaster ride emotionally, because you just didn't know, you know, whether you're going to make it or not until everybody was done, and then they announced numbers, and you know, it was just nerve wracking. And then, you know, I finally made it to the very end, and they're like, okay, well. We're going to send you, you know, a ticket, and then you go on to, you know, LA, and go up against, you know, that group. You know, they had, you know, each city kind of spread out throughout the U.S. and they only took a few people out of each city. So I was very fortunate to get through all those people and still be picked. And the funny part was, like, they at the very end, were the very last tryout of that day was. You know, they just wanted me to sing, it was an American, I can't even remember what it was, but it was some kind of a, you know, anthem anyway. And I was like, I'm Canadian. He said, well, then just sing your Canadian national anthem. I said, okay. So I sang Old Canada, and they loved it. They just couldn't really, you know, they didn't really realize what the words were at the time. And they were like, oh, wow, that's is a really cool, you know, national anthem. Like, and I was like, I was pretty proud because I was like, I really didn't practice that at all lately. And I'm like, I'm just thankful I got through it.
What a great experience. So in a lot of these competitions, and we see them on TV, they give critiques, obviously, and sometimes it's constructive criticism. Have you had, either in this competition or other times, when somebody said something you were actually able to implement?
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. Like, when I'm trying out for those things, it's such a nerve-wracking thing, and you find yourself just kind of locked into a position and just singing and failing to make a connection, like, visually with, you know, who you're singing to. So, you know, they kind of just said, you know, loosen up, you know, try and make, you know, eye contact with, you know, your audience and move around a bit to give them something to you know, look at, kind of thing. Like, don't just stay in one spot. If you can move around and try and get into the song, you know, it just helps to make it more enjoyable, I guess, to watch and to, you know, I guess, you know, it just makes your general performance, your stage presence, you know, just that much better.
Exactly.
So I took that to heart. Took that to heart, and just, you know, the next time I went out, I was like, you know, I every time I go out, I try to improve on that a little bit more, try to get more relaxed and not be so nervous that I'm not just, you know, stuck there and just singing with my hand shaking.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot to be thinking about when you're on stage, isn't there? I mean, you've got the nerves, but you've got to remember the words, obviously, and the next song coming up, and remember to smile, and I mean, all that stuff. So there's a lot to do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, in your mind as a singer, you're thinking that every other thing is just as important as your singing. So, you know, you're concentrating so much on your guitar playing at the time or your, you know, and then, you know, that's where I thought that I might falter a little bit, is that if I start concentrating on moving around and playing my guitar, it might take away from my vocals. Like, and so that was a real, you know, fear of mine. And I just, that's why I've been slowly kind of, you know, improving that and working on that more and more at home and just trying to get myself to the point where I feel comfortable singing, you know, just as well as I can play, kind of thing. And, you know, getting everything to that same level. That's the key, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of coordination and thinking of more than one thing at a time.
Right.
JT, who are your influences growing up in the world of music?
Well, you know, like, my dad was an established guitar player, you know, and, you know, during our family, you know, get-togethers and that family function, that we'd always, like, look forward to actually those Christmas get-togethers with my grandparents and that, because it would turn into just a big, you know, jam session pretty much. you know, everybody had they excelled at something in music. It'll either be singing, or my grandfather, you know, played harmonica like, oh, he was just the best. He had all sorts of different sizes of them. And, you know, and then if he put that down, he'd be playing the spoons or the knives. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is so talented. And, and you know, my dad was an electric guitar player. My cousin played the trumpet, and my uncles played the accordion. And it was just a whole huge jam of, you know, different instruments and just family, you know, just sharing.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And, you know, so that was a big influence. And then if you're talking about artists, you know, I grew up listening to, you know, Elvis and Tammy Wynette and, you know, like all sorts of the original classic country artists, country and Western,
sure.
I guess you would say it now. And, you know, and Elvis, you know, was a big thing back then, you know, and you know, it's just, Johnny Cash. I mean, of course, Johnny Cash is like the staple back then. So,
exactly.
So yeah, just those artists like really impacted on, you know, on me. And then as I was growing up, you know, it was other artists that started taking their way. George Strait. gosh, I'm trying to think of other artists that are.
Yeah. You know, what do you think with George Strait has been his secret to success for such a long career, so much longevity? What do you think is the qualities that get someone to have that?
Well, I think it's just that, you know, he's never let, you know, you never see him, like, looking for publicity. He's so down to earth, you know. Alan Jackson's the same way. Like, they're not, you know, you know, just rubbing it in people's faces that they're, you know, so great and that they're on top of the world. You know, people just love them because they're very down-to-earth people. And when they sing, you can tell they're singing from the heart. And a lot of their words and the music that they write, you know, it just comes straight from their heart and past experiences that they've had with, you know, in their lives. And you can just tell that, you know, they really feel, you know, strongly about the words that they're saying and passing on to everybody else through their singing. So
There's not a lot of flash with those two artists as far as, you know, all the fancy stuff. It's just a good song, a great song, and their voice. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, like, if you can just sit down and have a whole audience just enthralled with you and just you and your guitar and that's it, you know, like, wow. I mean, if you can get a hold of everybody's attention and hold it, you know, through a whole song and, you know, they're listening to every word you say, I mean, you've really got something there.
Oh, yeah, that definitely is a big thing. Let's turn to your music, and you've got that same kind of quality because the song we're going to share now is called Invisible Man. It's a very moving song, and you talked off-air about how you seem to be drawn to the ballads. That's sort of your strength. Can you talk, JT, about the song Invisible Man and a little bit of the story behind it before we share it?
Yeah, you know, this song really struck me really hard when I heard it. Actually, you know, I had a demo of it. Trey Bruce, he's from Nashville. He's a very established writer. He's written a lot of songs. Actually, I'm doing quite a few of his songs on my album. He seems to be, you know, he's writing words that, you know, that I wish I could have written myself. I mean, and.
Right.
But I took, I did add a little something to this song, Invisible Man. I mean, I did put my actual children's names in it, and I felt very strongly about the message that's being said in there. I mean, I know what it's like to be in that position and away from my kids, and I think this song really says it well. I mean, it just really says what I feel and wish, you know, things could have been different, but, you know, you know, it doesn't take away from my love for them and their love for me. And they know, you know, I'm just hoping that in the song it says, you know, that, you know, I hope that they understand when they get older that this is just something that had to happen. And you know, I hope they understand. And you know, it's just a message that I really wanted to pass on to my kids. And this is just one of my favorite songs from this album.
This is J.T. Moore, and it's off of his upcoming album called What I Live For. The song is Invisible Man, here on In the Country.
I always tuck them in, even though they're sound asleep. Turn the light out on the fish tank and kiss them on the cheek. Well, that's just how it is when you get off at 3 every night. And I pack their lunches by the light of the Frigidaire. Cassie won't eat mustard, and Caitlin loves pears. It's the only proof they have that I'm even there sometimes. Why I hours I put in leaves me to rest no more. To tell the truth, I wish sometimes she just gets me up. By the time she's getting home at night, my time at home is done. I want so bad to hold her, but I'm just a ghost running out the door. The invisible man, no one ever sees me, but I do what I can to keep both ends meeting. It ain't always easy, it ain't what I had planned. I hope one day they understand why the invisible man, you can see right through.
Alberta country artist J.T. Moore, An Invisible Man. That's a song that will be found on his upcoming CD. And again, when we listen to that song, J.T., you can hear the emotion in your voice, and you're really believing the words you're singing in that.
Yeah, you know, like, and thank you for playing that. That's amazing. Like, I'm so proud to finally have you, you know, be able to play one of my new songs. And and it's just great to hear it actually being played by somebody right now. I'm really looking forward to releasing that one and seeing where that goes. But yeah,
have you had
like
a chance?
Said,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and
go
just
ahead,
like you, yeah, like you said, you know, yeah, that's just the way I am. I'm very in touch with my emotions. When I write, I'm kind of that way where if I don't really feel it, or if I don't, you know, feel strongly about the words that are being said, I'm kind of very much, I guess, like I said about, you know, those other artists that, you know, if it doesn't really have a meaning or a song, or if I don't believe in it, then, you know, it just, I don't think I'm going to sing it, because I want my fans or my, you know, listening audience, I guess, to really feel what I'm feeling when I'm saying it. So.
And then that's a great thing because, when we're listening to an artist, we want to know that this is a song they believe in or feel or it matters to them, and that way it's
right.
going to matter to us. Otherwise, it could sound just like they're singing a song for the sake of trying to have a hit.
That's right, yeah. I just really want that connection with my audience, so that's the goal.
Great.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, JT. Have you had the chance with these songs, that song and other songs that are like that, emotional songs of yours, have you had a chance for someone to come up to you and say that the song has meant a lot in their life?
Oh, you know what? Like, that really did happen. You know, I wrote a song for my mom, and it's about being raised as, a single parent, you know, raising your kids. You know, my mom and dad were divorced shortly after he got out of the Air Force. And it was very, you know, young in my life, around 8 or 10. And then my mom was kind of on her own with me and my brother and sister. And, you know, I've always wanted to specifically write a song for my mom to, you know, kind of thank her for that. You know, it's too bad I don't have that one right here for you to listen to. But, you know, if you hit my MySpace, it's on there. It's called Thanks Mom for Being My Dad. And, you know, that song has gotten so much feedback. I've got so many emails and letters regarding that song. There's just so, that's just a, I guess, one niche song where there's not that many songs out there that kind of, you know, get into that specific issue and of being a single mom and raising kids and being all on your own and doing the best you can with what you have. And you know, this song, is, it's really close to my heart, of course. Like, it was actually, the first time I sang it was completely was for my mom. I sang it a cappella on Father's Day. So it was kind of a unique twist to, you know, it was just thanking my mom for being my dad. And I, it made everybody there cry. And you know, that's really what, not what my intention was, but, I mean, it really said a lot of what I wanted to say to my mom.
That's beautiful. And yeah, you didn't want them to cry, but you definitely wanted them to experience that emotion. And, of course, that always leads to tears when we get overwhelmed or we get touched by music.
Exactly. You know, when I find myself getting lost in my words, you know, when I'm singing, you know, when it's a song that I truly believe in, I really want to get that message across. Sometimes emotionally, I'm even falling, you know, to that tearing point, you know, where it's just, wow, this is really, you know, pulling up my heartstrings as well. So
let's first, I just want to let our listeners know they can head to jtmoore.ca, and that's where they can listen to some samples of the songs from the upcoming CD, and they can read your bio and check some other stuff out there. But let's head back to when you first started songwriting and maybe the first few songs. How did you feel about the process at that time?
Yeah, you know what? It was a really great learning experience. You know, like for myself, you know, I had always like, you know, had a passion for poetry, I guess. Like, it's always been an interest of mine, and even just listening or reading poetry. And then when I started to actually write my own poetry, it was like, wow, you know what, this is not too far off from actually songwriting. And I thought, well, you know, like, I'll, you know, start doing it on my own and seeing, you know, what I can do. But you know what, there's only, if you don't do it enough, or, you know, the more you do it, the better you get, but obviously, but, I was finding that, you know, what I thought was a really great song, when my first ones were put together, it was like, you know, I thought, wow, these are great, you know, and then I had actually was like, you know, comparing it to other songwriters, I'm like, you know what, maybe this isn't as good as I thought it was. You know, I have some old recordings of myself singing these old poems and, you know, turning them into songs and that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I need a little bit more help. So anyway, but I, you know, as I've been writing and meeting more and more people, and that's kind of what you have to do in this industry is really network. And, you know, you hear that adage all the time where it's not what you know, it's who you know. And, but that doesn't always play into it when you're a songwriter. Songwriting, you know, can come just getting two people together that are very creative and can come up with, you know, words that maybe mean two different things. You know, it might affect one person one way, or they might take it a different way. And that's kind of the key of songwriting, is to try and make your song maybe, you know, grab a few more. I mean, try to make sense to a few more people, you know, but maybe change your wording so that it kind of means two different things. And you know,
right.
And based on your period in your life, or that period in your life,
yes,
where certain things are happening, okay, wow, this one all of a sudden makes sense. Like, you know, maybe it didn't when you were younger, but oh, wow, this, you know, this one all of a sudden, okay, that makes sense now. Now I get it.
Yeah, and that's
so
true with a lot of songs in country music that maybe when we're younger, we haven't experienced the things they're talking about, because some of it's, you know, hard life stuff and divorce and being alone.
That's right.
And so you grow to appreciate it even more as you go on.
Yeah, the more life experiences you have, the more country music seems to make sense. You know, this is it. That's just the way, and that's country music for you. I mean, it's just, that's where it comes from. So, I mean, it's not always about, you know, your dog getting hit by a train kind of thing. It's not always about that. And if you play it backwards, you know, you don't always get everything back either. But it's just country music. Is it's something I kind of fell into. I was really a diehard classic rock person when I was growing up. I really was a great fan of Bryan Adams, and then, you know, he kind of, I don't know, just the way he changed classic rock. It wasn't as hard as it was. It was getting to be more poppy throughout his career, and then, you know, just the more and more I listened to him, and I was like, okay, well, this is kind of cool, and I'm liking where he's going with this. And then, you know, now country music is more, it's almost gone to be classic rock at this point. You know, I'm just, you're hitting a lot more of the guitar sounds that you would have heard back, you know, when classic rock was more popular. So it's just been a constant learning experience, and, you know, I'm just so appreciative that from my background that I was able to turn some of that into a creative process and writing my own songs and putting songs to music. And then that feeling of just putting all your words together and then having music and hearing it all together, all finished, it's just like having a baby, and I can't describe it any other way. It's so satisfying. Everything just comes to life, and it's just amazing to feel that what you created has taken a life of its own, and I can't explain it any better, but it's just like having a baby.
That's a great way of describing it, because you're taking a song that, if it's one that you've written, you've just played it on guitar and sung, and so you're hearing it bare bones, and now it's come out of the studio, and it's got all the bells and whistles and the fiddle and
right.
Guitar and everything to go with it. You're hearing it really come to life.
Exactly. And it's just amazing. Like, and, you know, even when my mom, she pulls out some of my old CDs and says, here, take a listen to this. And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to hear this. But if I do play that, you can hear the differences. Every time she puts in a newer one, you can hear, okay, wow, he's getting better. He's getting better. It's getting right. better, you know, like, and it's kind of a cool thing to look back on now, because it's, you can really see the growth. So,
There's a lot of growth in it. So it starts off, like you say, with songs in the beginning that you think are great, and maybe you realize they're not. But then you get the better songs as you write, and you keep improving, and
exactly.
you keep going on. Now, one of the persons that you've worked with, a great Canadian artist, Thomas Wade, so many people will remember songs from the radio. He's a great singer and also a great songwriter. And to talk about hooking up with Thomas and working on songs with him.
Yeah, you know what? Like I, you know, not to, you know, polish my trophy or anything, but it was nice to, like, I had won the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame National Singing Contest in Calgary in 2002, and one of the judges, Jim Cressman, he used to be a host on CMT Canada, and. Anyway, he put me in contact with Thomas, and so we spoke on the phone, just shortly after that contest, and we hit it off right away. I was actually flying through Toronto and met him at the airport just for, you know, a quick coffee. I was making a connection there, and we decided that, yeah, we definitely want to get together and do some more writing, so... I made the effort. We did some stuff long distance, and then I was like, you know what, I need to be closer. So I made some changes in my personal, you know, career. I'm also working diligently, I guess, in the environmental field, to try and support my music. But I also, you know, so I made a change on my location and found, employment and everything over in London, Ontario. And just moved myself to be closer to Thomas and the Spin Records crew there. That was Beverly Mahood and, you know, Jason Berry. And there's a lot of artists that have gone through there.
Great.
Jamie Warren as well. So it was just a great experience to actually move there and just be closer. And then every weekend, we'd get together and write some more music and record. And to be in the presence of all these really talented writers and performers, it's probably the greatest step in my career, is just to be with those people and to learn from you know, how they do things and how they, you know, songwrite and, you know, how they look at ideas for songs and that kind of thing, where all that comes from. And I don't know, it's just probably the greatest step in my career. And while I was there, it was like, it's weird, but it snowballs. Like, you'll meet somebody and then they'll put you in contact with somebody else. And like I say, it's not always what you know, it's who you know. And so it was nice. It worked out. And when I was in London, you know, I kind of hooked up with the Dorner brothers from the original classic rock group Helix. And they had just put together a country band called the Cadillac Cowboys. And, you know, they heard me singing karaoke one night and actually asked me to go to their house and join their group. And, you know, it's just amazing. Like, that was another major step in my singing career. I mean, and it was very exciting just to be in the presence of these people that have already been there and done that. And they know what it takes to get there. And, you know, and just for them to even approach me, you know, it just gave more validation that, okay, maybe I am on the right path. So, but
that's
it was,
you need that. You need to get that feedback, obviously, from people, and especially in the industry, because they will, that's great encouragement when they believe in you and can push you forward.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was going to use it for all it's worth. I mean, I was not going to, you know, turn my back on that opportunity. I was going to go for it. So, and that's kind of what you got to do is just, you know, if things don't go your way, you just got to keep rolling, and eventually something's going to happen that you're going to get, you know, that much further ahead. So,
yeah, you never know when that next opportunity is going to come, and you got to be ready and positive and prepared to give it your all, because that could be, you know, your time in the spotlight when things are going to happen. The right person is going to see you and hear you. And speaking of hearing you, JT, let's listen to another song that's going to be on the album. This is called Between a Hard Place and a Rock, and it's a little more up-tempo and got a little more
a little edgier.
Yeah, exactly. So talk about this one.
Yeah, this one here is a very exciting song to me. It's another one that Trey Bruce had written as well. When I heard it, I was like, you know, this is the artist. This is the image right off the bat that I really wanted to, you know, this is the kind of music that I want to sing. It's a little edgier. I mean, yeah, right off the bat, it sounds kind of rocky. It's more of a Jason Aldean-y type sound to it. And, it's just kind of the way I feel like my career could benefit by just singing this type of music. And, you know, not to say that singing the ballads isn't a great thing either, but I just think that this is an image that I kind of want to go with, because this is what makes me feel good to sing, I guess. You know, when I want to get my frustrations out or that kind of thing. But this is the kind of music that that makes me feel good about singing, and I just feel like it gets the crowd right into it. And the way it starts off with, you know, a very catchy riff. As soon as you hear it, you'll know what song this is.
Awesome. Well, we're going to play it, and then we'll come back, talk about more about the album and a few other things here on In the Country. This is JT Moore on the line with us from Alberta, and Between a Hard Place and a Rock.
Diamond ring like a leash around my neck. Don't wanna go, but I don't wanna stay. She's got me right where I don't wanna be, between nightclubs and hurt her, and all the things that I can't give up. Putting up my muscle car for a full band with a diamond heart. I'm finding it kinda hard to breathe.
J.T. Moore and Between a Hard Place and a Rock. It'll be featured on his upcoming CD called What I Live For. You can find out lots more about J.T. at jtmoore.ca. So tell us a bit more about the CD and what we can expect on it, J.T., the kind of songs and the kind of feel overall.
Yeah, the the title song, What I Live For, that was written by Gord Bamford and Dwayne Steele, some very good friends of mine, and I was kind of surprised that they even offered this to me. I mean, it's such a great song. I mean, that's another song that you can take a quick listen to on my website. The songs that are on there are very, they're family related. I mean, like a lot of them are. It's very touchy-feely. I mean, I'm really a, kind of a Lone Star-sounding artist. I don't get into the whole singing about, you know, anything harder than, you know, than typical. I don't get into the drug thing or anything else. I'm very down-to-earth a person, and I just sing about real life, you know, experiences that I've gone through and you know, or believe in. And, it's just something that's going to be, you know, it's one of those ones where the next song is probably just as good as the one you just heard.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you obviously believe, as we touched on earlier, that country music has the power to heal people and to, I guess, give them a cathartic experience. And I guess it comes back to sort of like a form of therapy, listening to a song in some cases.
Exactly. Like I want to... you know, we've all been through things in life, and if I can make, like, you know, if I can make one person, you know, feel better, you know, because they heard one song and it made sense and it kind of put things in perspective, you know, that's what I want to do. And if I can make you laugh, like, there's another song coming out called I Want to Come Back as Her Beer. That's another really up-tempo and funny song. I mean, it's one that's going to make you laugh every time you hear it, but... you know, that's the thing. I just want to, you know, touch people, you know, emotionally and, you know, and not just be, you know, I want to make it fun. I don't want to make it just all, you know, sad or, you know, feeling sorry for myself or that kind of thing. I want to really, you know, either make them feel good or make them laugh or, you know, just be a variety. And it's not going to be something that just drags you down. It's just going to be an album that, kind of touches you in different ways for each song, so that's about it.
And when can we expect the album to be available for us to get and purchase?
Yeah, the album is being final mixed right now, so the CD should be available in late spring, early summer. I'll have the date on my website as soon as I can confirm it, and it'll be available online on my website. It'll also be available at HMV stores. Got a distribution set up, you know, across Canada, and I'm looking, actually working on something in Europe as well. So it'll be available pretty much worldwide, you know, either through the internet or in your stores.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you about duets, JT, and if you had an opportunity to sing a duet with anybody from, let's say, the country music world, is there a female artist from there that you would choose for a recording?
I would love to tell you, but I'd get in trouble with my girlfriend. No, I'm just kidding. I've always thought about Terry Clark. I think it would be a good match for our voices. Martina McBride would be another one, like that really, you know, she's such a talented artist, and her voice is just, it's the best in country music, I think, still.
She really felt the songs out.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for as far as a Canadian artist goes, I think Terry Clark would be a good fit for me personally. And,
now, have you had a chance to run into her at all? Because she's from Alberta.
She's from Alberta, but I've never met her, and it's something that I've always wanted. And maybe
place.
She's listening, maybe she's not, but, you know, if you're listening, Terry, give me a call.
There you go. We'll set that up. I've had her on the show before, actually, several months ago. She was great to talk with, and, of course, she's an example of a great Canadian artist who has done so well.
She is, you know, like, she sets the standard pretty high for Canadian artists. You know, she is, you know, very down-to-earth. You know, from what I've seen of her, you know, she is just a great person, you know. I've never heard any negative comments about her or anything that, you know, in the industry, sometimes things can come through the grapevine or whatever, but, you know, she's always been one that's kind of had a really high moral standard, and, you know, you can tell in her music, you can tell that she's one of those artists that believes in her music as well, and you know, I'm really happy for her. Like, she's you know, well-deserved, you know, to be, you know, just that as established as she is,
yeah.
and that she was discovered, you know, at Tootsie's in Nashville. I've been in there a few times. I know how small that bar is, and but to be found in a such a small bar, you know, and to get to the point where she is from that one,
yeah.
you know, one moment in her life, it just changed her world, right? So, you know, I hope I'm as lucky as her. You know, I'd just be happy just to be able to be on the same stage as someone like that.
Now, as we get set to wrap things up here in just a few moments, JT, I wanted to ask you about, and this might require a bit of thought, but I'll throw it out there. If you had an opportunity to sit and have a casual lunch with somebody from country music, just a chance to sort of talk to them about music, maybe learn something about how they overcame difficulties or how they did such and such to get their career where it is, does anyone come to mind you'd like to gain that knowledge from, just in a casual kind of lunch atmosphere?
That's a really great question, you know. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of artists that I would love to meet, but to sit down with one of them and figure out, you know, how they dealt with different issues or different times in their life and how they've overcome different situations. I would say, you know what, like, I'm going to bring him up again. I think Alan Jackson. I think
nice.
He's the most down-to-earth person. And I hear that he sneaks in and out of Calgary all the time to go shopping and see what's up at Ranchman's and stuff. He does kind of just show up out of the blue. And, you know, I've never run into him, but if I could catch up with him and sit down with him and just, you know, throw some stuff at him and see what his take on, you know, different things, different issues that I've come up with in my career and see how he's handled it and kind of thing in his past. And just ask him about, you know, other behind-the-scenes industry type information that usually isn't, you know, made public or anything. You kind of have to, like, when you're talking to other artists, it's like there's always these walls up, and I understand them because they don't want to make it any easier on you than it was, you know, for them. I understand that, you know, you think that by talking to another artist that they're going to try and help you get to that point, but you know what? There are artists out there that are helpful like that, but a lot of them have walls up because they want you to work just as hard as they did. They don't want you to have it any easier than them.
You have an easy pet, yeah.
Right, because, like, that means that they've done all the hard work for you, you know. So I totally understand that now. Like, back when I was starting my career, I was like, no, you know, like, I was just going to try and get as much information from these people and learn from them, you know. But there's so many walls that go up, and I get it because, like, I've been struggling and I'm trying to get to that same point. I'm finally getting to that one particular spot where, okay, people are asking me now, and I'm like, you know what, I don't know, I want to help you. Inside, I'm saying to myself, I really want to help this person, but I want them to work for it. I want them to work just as hard as I did.
And you have worked very hard, and you're at a great place now. The CD, What I Live For, coming out early summer. JTMoore.ca is where our listeners can head to find out more. JT, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show finally and to share all these great stories.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dave. You know, like, I really appreciate your help in getting my word out and your support, you know, like, you know, over online and, you know, just personally, I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you today.
Awesome. It's been my pleasure. My guest today has been Alberta country artist JT Moore. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.